First of all, before we actually get into what I've prepared, I want to share a thought about the reflections that you hear on these occasions when Edward's away, and the worship that we've just shared in. These are the thoughts that people are having as they are part of this fellowship. It's us trying as we can to listen to and seek God. And you hear that in the way Andy so beautifully leads our worship. Some of you will know what's going on in his mind at the moment as he prepares to follow the Wainwright route coast to coast over the next fortnight. And some of that, I think, was coming through in some of the choice of songs, starting with that look at all that nature provides us with. What I'm going to share with you is what, as many of you know, has been that my preoccupation over recent months and years is the plans for our new building. But these are just thoughts, and what we're trying to do, and what we've been thinking about is with Edward, is how we as a church share the inspiration that God is bringing us, how we as a fellowship seek God's Holy Spirit's guidance and look for it in Scripture and in worship. So please don't let it stop with just those of us who lead. Share with one another. Share your thoughts. Share your heart for what is happening. And we will discover the Lord together when we do that. Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be acceptable to you, our Lord and our Redeemer.
Edward has talked to us over recent weeks about change, the changed world and the changed church situation post-COVID, and our resources in facing those changes, prayer, scripture, and fellowship together, the presence of the Holy Spirit. Today, I want us to think about the changes of the next few weeks and perhaps beyond. Margaret and my daily study notes during the week asked us if we could connect our daily living with our Christian worship in faith. Can we apply the principles that we're thinking about in prayer, scripture, fellowship, and the Holy Spirit's guidance into the situations and the decisions that we face? Next week, we will begin to hear about tender responses. Probably not next week, actually, a week or so away. The challenges of the next 12 months. To build or not to build. Timescales. Finance. Responses from our grant funders. How do we understand this situation in Evesham Baptist Church? At the beginning of his gospel, Matthew tells us how Jesus fled into Egypt and then was called back to grow up in Nazareth. And then the next event he records is his baptism by John 30 years later. So are we at a beginning after some hidden years, or are we at an end? For Matthew's readers, most, like most of us, would go from our text, "Out of Egypt I have called my son," to thoughts of the Exodus. So do we face a time of rapid progress to the promised land? Or do we perhaps face another circuit in the wilderness? We don't doubt that Jesus' hidden years were somehow a preparation for his ministry. Yet the Hebrew wanderings focused their minds more on the promised land than on the building of God's covenant nation, the people of promise. Have we focused on the building rather than what we are to be as stewards of it and apostles from it? Now, there's quite a debate among scholars about the passage quoted by Matthew in chapter 2, when he is describing Jesus' return from Egypt to Nazareth with his parents. The next slide. They had fled there, of course, in response to Herod's massacre of the innocents in Bethlehem soon after his birth. The quote is from Hosea 11, which we had read to us. If you have a Bible in front of you, please turn to it again. It is about God's calling of his people. It compares God to the father of young children. But the children grow up wayward and reject the father. It is an appeal to review and reflect on the father's call rather than to hear the call itself. What is the call about? Why are the children so wayward? Why do they wander towards false gods of the nations they move amongst? Why don't they stay close to the Father and shine with the glory of his abundant holy life? Their prodigality, Hosea warns, will lead to enslavement again, to Egypt and Assyria following invasion, defeat and destruction of the cities they hold dear. Remember, by this time, when Hosea was speaking, they'd already experienced one exile of 70 years. The father pleads with himself, "How can I give them up?" And full of compassion, God the Father, as Jesus the Son, appeals yet again and again in every generation. Jesus continues to bear the pain of our rejection. Generation after generation will miss out on the real joy of living as people of promise. Generation after generation will add to the pain of the Father and the Son. Hosea feels God's pain because the Israelites don't get it. When the people of Israel describe the time of the call out of Egypt, they don't describe it like that at all. It is exodus, escape, delivery by God, yes, but delivery from slavery to freedom and prosperity, not a call to be something totally different. And even after God's leading them through the wilderness and the desert, the establishment of his presence amongst them in the tabernacle, the blessings of the most advanced humanitarian social code of any tribe at the time, they missed his call to enter the promised land and live a flourishing life. They missed it through lack of faith in God's power to protect and equip them, and lack of vision for the witness that a holy people of promise could be in a blessed and holy promised land. So they wandered for 40 years, languishing in the desert. Next slide. So despite the totally different context, Matthew does quote this passage, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." So Matthew isn't just being clever and abusing a marginally relevant text. He's often called the writer of the Gospel to the Hebrews. And he isn't perpetuating their preoccupation with freedom and prosperity. There's something deeper here. Jesus tells his disciples in chapter 10 and verse 6 as they head off on the missionary training run. They're to go to the house of Israel. And of himself in chapter 15 and 24, he tells the Canaanite woman that his call is to the house of Israel. It is only when Israel again rejects and kills God's son, just as Jesus prophesied in Matthew 21 in the parable of the wicked tenants, that he commands his disciples to go into the whole world, and the Holy Spirit will go with them and equip them for the work. Next slide, please. Remember how Jonah was called to test the people of Nineveh one more time, and they were saved, and they turned to God in sackcloth and ashes. Of course, God foreknew that they would. And he foreknew in Jesus' day that the leaders of Israel wouldn't. But he still offered them the test. And he knows where we are today and how we will respond to the test of purpose and faith of the next few weeks. Joshua and Caleb got it. David got it. Jeremiah and Hosea got it. Next slide, please. Israel was to be an example that would draw the world to God. But they failed to stay close to him, choosing just to defend and abuse their privileged life. God led Jesus to give up the comforts of Egypt, accept his call, and live that life that Israel had been called to live throughout those hidden years until his baptism, and make the final appeal to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, an appeal to reject their quisling, corrupt Sanhedrin leadership and follow him. And of course, over his short life, 120 people did stay the course and shakily arrived past the resurrection and the ascension at Pentecost. And that day, 3,000 people got it. So how do we approach the decisions of the next few weeks? Next slide. You see Cowell Street, where we have been for many years, as the place God wants us to build his kingdom? Or do you hear a call from God to move out and explore the scale and the harvest that may be possible on Offenham Road? Have you imagined life in a large modern building on a roundabout, a city set on a hill? Or do you long for change here, in this, perhaps from the outside, funny little cottage in the middle of a residential complex, and yet still at the heart of the town? Are you more concerned about the building the church is in, or the church God is seeking to build us into? Wherever God leads us, together, are you ready to speak a multitude of languages and go on new missionary journeys into alien cultures? If you can't make sense of the call from this place, a reason to leave, or a new purpose in our life here, a reason to stay, can you enter in to the year ahead in our wanderings, seeking God in his tabernacle as he journeys with us, and grasp the call to be the people of promise, trusting God for all we need as we pray and study his word and seek God's guidance together.